Hello and welcome to the Private Labeler Show, where we are dedicated to helping you take your Amazon business to the next level. Now, here is your host, Nick Landowski.
Hey, hey, what's going on, people of the internet? How the heck are you doing and how is your day? I'm in a great mood. Reason being, well, today was a beautiful day outside. I think spring is finally here. So we had a fairly mild winter where I live. And I'm pretty confident to say that spring is definitely here, ready to go in full force. Spring is definitely here early, which is awesome. Super excited about that. And I'm super excited about my Amazon sales today. It's just been amazing. I've been crushing it. So hopefully you're having a great sales day as well. And overall, just enjoying life and working hard to build your Amazon business and brand. So welcome to episode number 13 of the Private Labeler Show, where we are helping 1,000 amazing entrepreneurs start an online business and quit their crappy job. So that is the anthem, everybody. That is the theme that I am playing by this year in 2016, trying to help you and help others succeed online. So far it's been going amazing. So if you've been part of this, I guess you could say movement, kudos to you. Awesome. Really excited that you're deciding to join me and give me a little bit of your time today for episode number 13. And in this episode, we're going to talk about some of the top mistakes that Amazon sellers make in the product research and selection phase. Okay, so this is kind of like step one of the entire process, which going back to episode 3, if you can go all the way back to episode 3, I went over an overview of picking a product. So I basically kind of broke it down and went over all the steps, kind of the one-on-ones. And in this episode, it's going to kind of continue off that. And I'm going to uncover like roughly 4 or 5 different ideas or just different things that I see people doing that I want to try to just give them some insight and knowledge into. So we're going to do that in just a few minutes. So I'm super excited about that. Hopefully you're going to get some real value out of this episode, because I think it's incredibly important to get your product research and your first product picked correctly if you haven't already done so. So I got kind of a cool stat here in regards to Mr. Jeff Bezos. So I was looking up actually a recent news story about, I think it was like Forbes, their richest people in the world. Like they do that every year and they talk about the billionaires, kind of who's at what ranking. And no surprise, Mr. Billy Gates, still number one, reigning supreme with that Microsoft cash. Bill's doing some amazing things, by the way. I've been seeing his philanthropy efforts, and I'm quite impressed by what he's doing with his fortune. I think he was at, Forbes said he was at about $80 billion. That's what his assessed value or worth is, so that's awesome for him. But kind of a surprise, Mr. Jeff Bezos himself, Mr. Amazon, they said he jumped 10 spots on this list this year, and he is now the 5th richest person in the world at $45 billion. That's what he's worth. So kudos to him. He's definitely an awesome guy. Super excited for his success because he's allowed people like myself to become online entrepreneurs. So $45 billion is definitely a lot of money. I know he's doing a lot of good with it. So here's actually a question for you. I was kind of thinking about this. If you had $45 billion, or maybe you had Bill Gates money, so maybe you're at $80 billion. What would you do with it? You only get to pick one project or one thing, so you can't spread out what you would spend the money on. So if you had kind of an all or nothing play with, let's say $80 billion, so if you could get Bill Gates' wealth, what one project or one thing or one, what would you do with that money? Like I said, only one thing. Me personally, I would either do one of two things. I was kind of thinking about this briefly, and I thought, you know what? I would make sure that every last individual on this planet had access to broadband internet. That or access to clean water, because I think both are extremely important, obviously the water being the most important. But I kind of like the idea of making sure that everybody has access to internet or broadband internet, because there's still a lot of people out there that don't even have access to the internet. I'm not sure if $80 billion would cover you know, all the remaining people that don't have it. But in theory, if it did, I'd feel really good about that, because maybe there's a lot of future online entrepreneurs out there that never really got the opportunity to kind of start an online business because they simply don't even have access to broadband internet. So what would you do with the money? Leave me a comment in the Facebook group or on this episode on the blog. Or if you're listening to this on another channel like YouTube or whatever, you know, just leave a comment in there. What would you do with $80 billion? Just like your one play and your one play only. Be kind of curious to hear some of the responses on that. Before we get jumping, make sure you subscribe to the Private Labeler Show on privatelabelershow.com, or subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, or YouTube. And also leave a comment, leave a review if you could, please. That'd be greatly appreciated. Would love to read some more of your iTunes reviews. And the more iTunes reviews that I get, the better the show ranks and the more people that it'll reach. So you'd be doing me a huge favor. And of course, I would really appreciate your honest feedback. So let's get started with the show. So as I mentioned, there are kind of some common mistakes to the product research phase that I wanted to bring to light and kind of give you my opinion and discuss. So whether you've already launched products and maybe you're on your second or third at this point, I think you can always learn things about the process. And, you know, maybe you struck gold on your first product and you're kind of going to go to the second one, and you just want to make sure you're repeating that process and making sure that you're following all the steps necessary to succeed. And I think that the product research phase is the most important, but also it really cripples a lot of first timers or people just getting started into Amazon private labeling, because they will go back and forth for weeks and months on what product that they would like to do. And they kind of freeze and then they don't take action. So getting started here. So here's number one, I guess you could say. So number one is, when people get involved in private labeling, they you know, their mind is going a mile a minute trying to figure out how to do this and how to find the right product. But ultimately, I think I see a lot of private labelers go into a product or niche or category where the demand is just too low, or there just isn't enough demand on Amazon to be able to support a sustainable product where it's actually going to give you the kind of income or sales that you're looking for. So number one, going after a market where the demand is just not there. Could be because the demand just will never be there. It's a kind of a dying product, or maybe the demand is, maybe the idea is so new that there just really isn't enough demand in general on Amazon for it. Could be, you know, a lot of different reasons, but you want to make sure, bottom line, that your product has demand, or the product that you're thinking about private labeling and selling on Amazon. So it's really, really important. Demand is pretty much everything. You want to make sure that it has the right amount of demand. And there are a lot of different ways to kind of check that. And I, again, reference episode 3, where I kind of really, you know, break that down. And I'm not going to go into all the little details of that in this episode, but just make sure that your product has demand. Now, if you're looking at, let's say, grill brushes as an example, and you notice, you know, for that or for your product that you're thinking about doing, that only maybe one or two of the sellers are getting the lion's share of the attention and sales, that product might have enough demand overall, but it's just being dominated by maybe it's corporate brands. So maybe the top one or two sellers have name recognition and they're large corporate brands that you've heard of that are, you know, backed by marketing and the whole nine yards, and customers know them by name. So you might say, yeah, there is demand there, but you just want to check those things out, that if it's just being that demand's being dominated by one or two or three top sellers and everybody else, all the private labelers are just left crumbs and there's no way that you're really going to compete with them. You have to kind of consider those things. But let's just say that your product that you're looking into doesn't have any major corporate players in it. You want to check and see who the top sellers are, and you can kind of briefly look at, you know, the bestseller rankings to see, you know, how well they're doing, and then kind of go down further down the line. But the easiest way that I could recommend that you check for demand is simply by using Jungle Scout, okay? I've talked about this before, and I'll keep saying it over and over again. Jungle Scout is the biggest time saver in this process you could ever hope for. Super simple, easy to use, but you can simply check for demand, you know, by clicking a button. It's a little Chrome extension, and Jungle Scout will tell you all the data that you want, give it to you, you know, within a matter of seconds. So I basically or personally check demand just by hitting a button with Jungle Scout. It tells me how many units are being put out, and I can kind of look at, you know, the top 5 or 10 sellers to see, you know, how many units they're putting out a month, and kind of add that up and go, okay, that this passes the demand test. And then I can use that information going forward for the whole process. So I also did a review of Jungle Scout. You can take a look, and I'll put this, put it in the show notes so you can check out my review of Jungle Scout, where I'll kind of show you in a video form of just different ways that you can use Jungle Scout. Put links to it as well. So if you want to take a look and see, I personally got Jungle Scout quite some time ago. And since then, they've come out with a lot of new features for sellers that I think are pretty incredible and just make it, you know, a massive value for you. So it's always evolving and always getting better. But doing the basic things like checking for demand, there's nothing better than that. Because if you don't have that tool, it's a total pain to sit there and click on each product and look at bestseller rankings and trying to write everything down or remember everything. And so my opinion, if you're serious about selling on Amazon and private labeling and making this a business, bar none, if you never wanted to purchase any tools or didn't have the money for it, figure out a way that you could actually afford or buy Jungle Scout. It's really inexpensive. Make that happen. That should be your first priority when you're first getting started with this. Figure out what it's going to take for you to buy Jungle Scout. You can get it for like as little as $70 or $80, I think. And there's different versions beyond that. There's monthly subscriptions, so on and so forth. So check that out. And then kind of going along with the demand stuff, sometimes people will see that a product is selling, but they don't really take into consideration that it's a seasonal product. So for example, let's say summertime's around the corner, and you're looking at like a product that you would use in outdoor pools or something like that. Well, obviously those are the types of products that are completely seasonal, and you might only have a window of maybe 3 or 4 months where people are buying them in droves, but the rest of the year it's really flat or non-existent sales. So just be aware of your potential product ideas, like what's seasonal, what's not seasonal. And you can check the trends and seasonal stats of products by simply using the free tools such as Camel, 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 or Google Trends. So again, I'll put those in the notes. You can evaluate and look and see exactly when these products sell. Are they trending up, trending down? And that way give you an accurate indication of, is this going to be a year-round product where the demand is, you know, 12 months a year? Or is it, you know, the demand's really just for 3 or 4 months. Now, I'm not saying that you have to have a product that sells 12 months out of the year, but I'm just kind of letting you know that if you're kind of going around this for the first time, you might want to make sure that, you know, you understand when your product may or may not be selling so that there are no surprises. And then you can go from that and kind of form your own opinions and how you want to proceed forward. So moving on here. So mistake number two, here's what I see, and this just really drives me wild. People picking a product that everybody else in the world is private labeling, okay? That drives me wild. If you go into Facebook review groups, there's like literally like 5,000 of them out there. You just have to search in Facebook. People post their products in there because they're looking for reviews or looking, you know, for people to buy it with coupon codes. They'll post their products in there, and you can see what everybody's doing, essentially what these private labelers are doing. And over time, you'll start to kind of see that like there's the same handful of products over and over and over and over again. And you just scratch your head going, geez, I've seen like 20 different people doing literally the same identical type of product. And you kind of have to go, well, I A, wonder why they're doing that, and B, wonder why they haven't even tried to differentiate the product, or, you know, and it just kind of drives me nuts that people just want the easy way out and they're not willing to really use their mind and think about what would be a really good product to do. They just kind of want to go for the easy option that they see everybody else doing and piggyback on it. And, you know, that product is going to be so oversaturated that it's just going to be impossible to make money, and it's going to be a race to the bottom. So look in those review groups for at least a week or two, and you'll start to see what I'm talking about, and just avoid all the products that you kind of see over and over again. Now, other things too, like avoiding what everybody else is doing. So there are a few courses out there that teach private labeling, obviously. A lot of times they'll do like case studies or list example type of products that they use for their example for their course. And yet I still see people trying to private label that themselves. Like, it just kind of blows my mind. I'm like, geez, why do people do that? It's like they see a course case study, and they'll pick that product just the same as, you know, 300 or 400 other people did as well. And I'm like, just scratching my head going, yikes, you're not going to make any money picking the same exact product as everybody else if a course is showing you how to, you know, launch that particular product. So just avoid that. My recommendation is that you just go a little bit deeper. And I mentioned this in episode 3, go a little bit deeper in your researching. So a lot of the courses out there will teach you, oh, just go on the Amazon bestsellers list, and just like magic, you'll have all these ideas, you know, and to pick from. Well, that's what everybody else is doing, and they're so lazy with it, and it drives me nuts. So make sure that you don't just scrape off the top of the bestsellers ranking of a category. Go a few subcategories deeper. Go a few pages in. Don't just look at page one of, a particular, you know, popular category. Go a little bit deeper. Don't be afraid to dive many pages in. Don't be afraid to dive a couple subcategories down, because a lot of the times most people aren't looking that far, and that's where you can find gold. Okay. So mistake being people are just kind of picking the same stuff over and over again, getting it from the same suppliers, and it's just complete oversaturation and a complete race to the bottom for price and all that kind of good stuff. Good deal for the customer at the end of the day, but not so much for you. Now, moving along here, so mistake number three is I see people that they end up going with products that sell for too low of a price, okay? Now, I mentioned in the past and that you should kind of shoot for a product that you can sell for roughly $15 to $20 ideally. And, you know, a little bit lower than 15 in certain cases, depending, and, you know, there's nothing necessarily wrong with that overall, but try to shoot for at least $20 in certain cases. So if you can shoot for $20, $30, if you have the budget and you can maybe, sell a product for a little bit more, maybe it costs you a little bit more to get made, but at the end of the day, you're going to completely avoid the vast majority of people that are private labeling, because everybody's kind of in the same, you know, on the same beach. They're all going for products that are maybe between $10 and $20. If you stepped outside of that and you said, I'm going to find a product that I can sell for, you know, $25 minimum, or maybe $30 or even $40, you're going to have such an easier time in dealing with, you know, the competition aspect if you really step outside that box, if you find your own beach and start playing on it with your own criteria. So easy way or easy tool of kind of filtering all that quickly is by using Jungle Scout. So if you go in there, you depending upon which version you have, you can actually tell it which criteria, like when it comes to pricing and things like that, and it'll weed out all the stuff you don't want and only show you products that are selling for specific prices and stuff like that. So Jungle Scout can be a really quick tool to just eliminate, you know, cheap, low-price products and give you the criteria that you're looking for. So that's kind of my advice there. Try to step outside the normal. Think a little different. Go a little deeper. As long as everything you're doing everything else right, such as just making sure the item is somewhat lightweight, I think, you know, like 2 pounds or less, and it's not complex, it doesn't have like a lot of glass, it's fairly small, so for shipping reasons, as long as you're making sure that it has that criteria, you know, you're going to be setting yourself apart from a lot of the competition. A lot of these people going through courses, they're all following literally identical criteria and picking the same products over and over and over again. And there's zero creativity. So just kind of take that into consideration. Now, number four here. So mistake number four, not making a decision. Okay. So sometimes people become so paralyzed by data and they whittle down their list and they might have three really awesome ideas, all which of would really be successful or work out well. They did their research and they have maybe two or three ideas, but they don't pick. All three would work, but they don't pick. They sit there and they just kind of mull it over, and maybe they're just wasting time and they're wasting weeks or if not months just trying to decide, you know, ultimately what's the complete best product. At the end of the day, if you like all three of your products, let's just say that was you, you had three product ideas, just decide which has the best long-term output if your goal is to build a brand around it, okay? If that's your goal, what product gets you the most excited, okay? What product can easily correlate and transfer into an entire brand of maybe 5, 10, 15 other related products? You know, try to use that as your criteria. What would you love to sell? What type of customer would you ultimately love to have? And I've talked a lot about this in the past, being passionate about your products and your brand and your potential customers, enjoying them. So, you know, as you may have heard, if you've listened to enough of my podcast episodes early on, I had a product that I had that I just didn't love. It would have made money, but I didn't love it. And ultimately that was my deciding factor. So sometimes people could care less. They don't need to love the product. They don't need to have passion around it. It just needs to make them money. And that's totally cool. That's just not me. That might be you, but again, that's just not me. So finally, just make a decision though. Just make that decision. And the worst that could happen again is you don't entirely love that product. It still might make you money, but you know, at least you made the action, took the step and put the product out there and made money from it. So last time I checked, that's pretty awesome. So just make a darn decision. Flip a coin if you have to. And here's kind of a pro tip. So here's something I mentioned. I think it's in episode 3. When you're looking around and you're in the research phase and you see that, you know, you're looking at all these things on your, whether you're using Jungle Scout or not, if you're doing it the longhand method, just by kind of clicking around in categories and subcategories, typing in searches, things like that, you'll start to see who the private label sellers are. So the FBAers, you'll start to see who they are based off their listings and things like that. And let's just say that you came across a product that you're kind of interested in and it's got pretty good results. It passes all the smell tests. All you have to really do to take this to the next level is click on their storefront. So if you see that top seller or some of the top sellers for those products, you know, they have really great BSRs and they have, you know, just great looking listings. And it seems like they're doing a lot of right things correctly. Just click on their storefront and it'll show you again, all their products. So if you were looking at selling a grill brush and you wanted to really just make sure that this was the right product and maybe look at other related types of products, look at who's dominating and who's doing well. And if it's a private labeler, just click on their storefront. And like I said, you'll see all of their other products. So you might from that clicking on their storefront, see 5 or 10 other related products that you would have had no idea or would have never have thought of by the traditional research methods, even using Jungle Scout, okay? So simply looking at what other people are selling might give you amazing ideas, and you could look at it and go, okay, if that particular seller already did the research on this, and it looks like they know what they're doing because they're making money on these products, and they have great BSRs, I'm going to take it that they did that research, and I can use all of their work and kind of just take those ideas and go, okay, maybe for product 2, 3, 4, 5, I could look into doing these types of products because this looks awesome and they're crushing it. And nobody else is really doing it like they're doing it. So simply by clicking on their storefront, if I had Jungle Scout, I could hit the Jungle Scout button and it'll tell me immediately what their ranks are, and I could evaluate their storefront in the matter of seconds to give me all of these additional ideas. And that's how personally I have a goal to have a certain amount of products for my brand launched by the end of the year. And I already know what the majority of them are going to be at this point, or the rest of them, because of using that method. Just simply seeing who are the top players in my categories and in my niches, because I know who they are at this point. And looking at all the different things that they're selling that are related. So they're building brands, and I'm kind of looking, and they already did the research. They're probably private labelers just like me. And I can feel confident to go, okay, I already have a whole plethora of ideas now for future products. Okay. And again, maybe I would have never found those by just simply searching up and down through the categories, because maybe these are kind of deep products deep down in the subcategories that I would have never have thought of. Okay. So I think I kind of mentioned that tip before, but I think it's a killer tip, just using the storefronts of other people. So yeah, that kind of about does it for this episode. Hopefully you got some value out of it. It was kind of short and sweet, but I really think that the product selection phase is bar none the most important, but also it's the most crippling, especially if you haven't launched a product yet. And hopefully some of the information that I talked about helped you or gave you some additional value. But at the bottom line, though, like I mentioned, is just to take action and just make a darn decision if you haven't launched a product yet. So I'm going to kind of leave that there. If you have any comments or questions about this, reach out to me. You know, leave a question in the Facebook group, wherever. Just reach out and I'll do my best to help you out and answer your question. So with that being said, I am going to end the show here, and I look forward to talking to you in the next episode. Take care. Bye. Hey, I was wondering if you could do me a quick favor. If you listen to this podcast episode on iTunes, Stitcher, or even YouTube, could you please leave me a quick review or a quick upvote? It would be greatly appreciated and go a long way to helping me reach my goal of helping 1,000 people start an online business in 2016. Thank you, and talk soon.